Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMoney.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. It's the late 18th century. Aminato Diallo, a young girl in West Africa, is kidnapped and sold into slavery in the American colonies. Later, during the Revolutionary War, the British Crown promises freedom to all blacks who fight on their side. The British lose the war, but afterwards, the loyalists are allowed to emigrate to Nova Scotia, but they face being re-enslaved unless they can prove their identity. So the multilingual Mina is enlisted to record the loyalist names in a crucial ledger so the men and women can hold on to their hard-won freedom. The book where she writes the names is titled The Book of Negroes. The Book of Negroes is also the name of a new epic drama now airing on CBC television. Based on the novel by Canadian author Lawrence Hill, it traces the story of Mina, tossed and turned by the vagaries of slavery and war across three continents as she struggles to establish herself as a free woman and a woman in love. The miniseries is directed and co-written by award-winning Toronto filmmaker Clement Virgo, known for his films on boxing, sex, and identity. And I'm very pleased to have him here with me by telephone from Toronto to tell us more about it. Hi, Clement.
Hey, Daniel. How you doing?
Good. Nice to talk to you again.
Yeah.
So I'm loving the show so far. I've only seen episode 4, not episode 1, so I'm leaving a lot out. But am I getting the feeling pretty on?
It's pretty spot on. I mean, the way that you've described it is pretty accurate.
Thanks. So how did you find out about the Book of Negro, and what drew you to this project?
You know, the book came out in 2007, and it was a very, very popular book. It won, the Canada Reads, it won the Commonwealth Prize and a number of other awards. And I knew about it, but it took me a while to get to it. But when I finally did, I read it in about 4 days. And I fell in love with that main character. Aminata Diallo is a very interesting, compelling character, and I knew right away that I wanted to make it into a feature film.
So, my impressions of the history of slavery and afterwards were formed when I was a kid and saw TV shows like Roots and the autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman, and more recently there are movies like 12 Years a Slave. So.
Right.
When you talk about the Book of Negroes, where do you think this will fit in the minds of future minds of people in Canada and maybe in other countries as well?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think I think only time will tell. I mean, I think it's in terms of a comparison. If you say look at Roots, for instance, which came out in 1977.
Yeah.
And 12 Years a Slave, that came out in 2013. There hasn't, and you mentioned a couple others. There is a vacuum in some ways of these kinds of stories. One of the films that I based the Book of Negroes on, in terms of just my, the film that I love, is a film called The Pianist by Roman Polanski. It's one of my favorite films of all time. And it's a Holocaust film. And, over the last, 50 years, there have been some great Holocaust films from a number of different point of view, from, say, Sophie's Choice, from a female point of view, from Schindler's List, from some great films out of Germany, like The Counterfeiters. So, I think that what makes the Book of Negroes a little bit different is that, yes, it's about slavery, but slavery is only a small part of it. Aminata, is taken from Africa. She's brought to South Carolina, and she's put on a plantation right away. But the plantation part of it is a tiny part of this story. What I love about her and love about the narrative is that it's about, she gets caught up in history. She's a kind of portal through American history. She gets caught up in the middle of the American Revolutionary War, which, in some ways is kind of underrepresented in terms of how blacks had to navigate that war between British and American rebels. And it's also from a kind of female point of view. And we don't get a lot of stories from a female point of view. So I was attracted to it from simply because it was a very subjective experience, like The Pianist. She was a very compelling character. And, you know, it's a very classic in terms of the structure. You know, when I met Lawrence Hill, and he said, well, why do you want to do it? I said, look, I, for me, it feels like The Wizard of Oz, where I'm an actress in Africa. She's minding her own business. And then this twister of slavery rips her from her family and pulls her, you know, through this funnel. And she's now on this road, ends up on a slave ship, brought across the sea, ends up in South Carolina, ends up in New York, you know, ends up in Nova Scotia as part of the migration of black loyalists, and eventually as part of the abolitionist movement in London. So for me, it has a very classic journey of taking from your home, and all you want to do is get back home. It's very, very Greek in the structure.
So you mentioned the Nova Scotia part. Traditionally, and because a lot of it takes place in the U.S., traditionally Canada's role is sort of peripheral as this New Jerusalem or wherever, this distant place where escaped slaves on the Underground Railroad can end up. But you deal with Canada a very different way. Talk about Canada's portrayal in your story.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, I think, in terms of, the classic narrative of Canada is that slaves that ran away from America to come here through the Underground Railroad, and we don't really get a sense that there was actually slavery here in Canada. A lot of people probably don't know what the title referenced, but the title of the Book of Negroes references a actual ledger. The ledger is what the British Navy used to collect the name of all the black loyalists that helped them during the American Revolutionary War. So they collected the names of all these African Americans in a ledger, people that were born in Africa, people that were born in America, and they migrated all these people to Nova Scotia because they promised them land. And there was and they called them loyalists, they're white loyalists and black loyalists, and they end up in places like Halifax, Shelburne, Bridgetown, in and around Nova Scotia. And so that part of history was never really kind of told. We know a lot about the American Civil War and the run up to that for people trying to escape, but we don't know about some of the first black loyalists that came to Nova Scotia in 1783, I believe it was. And so that was also, I mean, for me, I went to school here in Toronto, and I did not know that history.
So it is a new facet of Canadian history. Let's talk about the N-word. Historically, it was hateful and degrading, but it was also very commonly used, especially in the U.S. So how do you choose to use it in a historical drama so it keeps its impact and accurateness, but it doesn't get watered down?
Blacks have been called a number of different things over the last couple of centuries. We've been called Negroes. We've been called colored. We've been called Afro-American, Afro-Canadian. We've been called African-Canadian.
No, I'm talking about the pejorative word.
The N-word, you mean?
Yes. Yes.
The actual N-word.
The other N-word.
Well, I think the N-word is, the way that it's used, it's all about context, right? I mean, the N-word is all about context and how it's used. I mean, I think a lot of, if you say, look at how the hip-hoppers and hip-hop community uses the N-word, they use it to affirm someone because it's affirm their friend or partner,
But I'm wondering about in the miniseries, I've only seen one episode, but you seem to use it for fullest impact. So I wonder, how do you choose when to put it in and when to leave it out?
Well, I pick my moments, I pick the moments where I feel like it has the most, where it feels right and feels accurate. Because I think, it seems to me if someone has a power to say it, in 1776 New York, I'm not sure if they would be saying it all the time. You know what I mean? It's like, because you have the power anyway. So I chose my moment. So I don't have people just saying the N-word just for effect. To me, it's always about impact. It's always about what is the context and how is it used. So I just feel like if someone has the ability to say it all the time, they just wouldn't say it, you know, because it's like, well, what's the point? You know, you only say it if you feel like you have no power and you want to have power over someone. You want to demonstrate to someone that you have power. But if you feel like you have power, there's no reason to say it.
Okay. So we might as well talk about the other N-word. I understand the book title was changed in the U.S., New Zealand, and Australia to a different title. They didn't want to use the word Negro. Can you talk about that? And is the miniseries going to retain its original name?
Yeah, the miniseries is called the Book of Negroes. In the U.S., when the book came out, the publisher changed it to someone chose my name simply because they felt it was people would react negatively to the title. Now that BET, Black Entertainment Television, is now airing the series in February, the publisher has gone back and reissued the book under the correct title of the Book of Negroes.
Interesting.
And so you know, I mean, in places like the Netherlands, they actually burned the cover of the book because, you know, they found it offensive. I mean, you know, if I was honest, when I first saw the title, I had my own personal aversion to the title. I mean, but I subsequently got past that and sort of realized that my own prejudices were coming to bear and clouded my judgment on the novel.
So most of your films in the past are small, intimate, very, very personal. This one is a huge epic with crowds and period costumes and sets and boats. And how did you make this monumental change?
It was all about the story. You know, I never thought I would actually make a period piece, but the story grabbed me and we set about. I knew that if I was going to make it, we would have to raise the money for it. We have to raise the budget. So we set about doing that. And we have, you know, we went to CBC and they came on as our Canadian broadcaster. We went to BET in the U.S. and they came on as our U.S. broadcaster. And we went to E1 and they came on as our distributor. And we got money from various other places like Nova Scotia, among others. And so we basically pieced together the financing from a lot of sources. Simply because I just wanted to do it justice. You know, like you say, I've made smaller, intimate films, and I'll probably go back and make a couple. But with this one, I felt like it needed to do it justice. I would have to put in, with my business partner, Damon Delavere, and a number of other producers from Nova Scotia and from South Africa, because it's a Canada-South Africa co-production, that I knew that we needed to make it a big project.
Well, from what I've seen, you definitely have done it justice.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thanks a lot for talking with me, Clement.
All righty.
So I've been speaking with director Clement Virgo, whose epic new miniseries, The Book of Negroes, is now playing on Wednesday nights on CBC TV. Go to cbc.ca/Book of Negroes for more information. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies Each Friday Morning for CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.